in the plan, in case of discovery. Vika had bandaged her shoulder where Ben had caught her with the Gaddurfi. Mullen had a bruised tailbone from his fall. Orin had stood in the cold with them, working out their next moves. Those moves started at the claim. The second sun had scarcely been up when Orin activated the settler's call. After minutes of the screeching siren, the workers of the oasis appeared in front of the garages, waiting to be directed. It hadn't taken long. Many were headed to the claim for breakfast and were hungry, which was just how he wanted them. Today, they'd be fighting for Orin's benefit. And someone new. "You see, Weil?" Orin said, looking across the milling throng of vigilantes. "There's my army. Your army."
"Yeah,"
Weil Ulbrich said. Standing beside Orin, the old man looked tired beyond measure. His nose was broken and bandaged, and he carried something Orin had never seen him with before, a small oxygen bottle, which he tapped every few breaths.
"We still have to wait for my guys to show up," he muttered. He spat on the ground.
Orin smirked. Ulbrich had been a surprise, a fabulous bonus. Orin would have triggered the call anyway, to execute his next move. But moments after first sunup, a driver had brought Ulbrich to a stop in front of him. The old man had spoken grudgingly then of how his forces had failed him the night before, and how his Magda had nearly died. Then he'd said the words that Orin had longed to hear for years.
"I want in."
The plan had worked after all. Amazing. It made sense, Orin thought. Ulbrich had seen Ben's arrival, but not Orin's unmasking. And a scout had sighted Plug-Eye leaving the territory. It had been enough to make Tatooine's tightest miser pay the price for protection. Ulbrich was having the appropriate amount in Orodium-plated ingots trucked in as soon as someone extricated the filthy things from beneath his refresher station. It was enough to pay off a large portion of Orin's debt to Jabba. Orin was going to throw the retaliatory strike in for free. And that would take care of yet another matter. Ulbrich's presence meant Ben hadn't gone to him to accuse Orin. At least not yet. Presuming he intended to at all. Orin's secret could be kept safe. And shortly, the whole chapter would be closed. Things were going to be okay. Orin spied Annalene walking from the store to the garages. He hadn't dared to set foot in the store, but he did note that she must have asked Tar Lup to stay over and work the breakfast shift. That was fine. She probably needed rest after the night before. He felt bad about that, but he'd make it up to her. Starting now. Excusing himself from Ulbrich's side, he walked over to Annalene. She wore her heaviest duty work clothes. Her hair was pulled back. She looked at him warily. "A little bit of good news, Annie," he said. "I won't need as much money as I thought." "Fine. I thought you'd like that." "Fine." Looking straight ahead, she saw Ulbrich. She stepped forward. "Are you okay, Weil?" Orin watched nervously as she approached the old man. He knew Jay might have told Annalene about the raid, but that was all the boy knew. Her words put Orin at ease. "I'm sorry this happened to you and Magda," she said, clutching the old man's hand. "Really sorry." Parting from him, she shot a bitter look at Orin. That was fine, Orin thought. She would protect her son, and she would be set back some money, but she'd get over it. Annalene stopped to look at the mustering masses. "What's this?" she asked almost indifferently.
"You heard the call,"
Orin said, knowing well that anyone with eardrums had heard it. "You know how it works. There was an attack. There'll be an answer." He looked at her. "Is Jabe all right?"
"He'll be fine. He's not working today."
Spying Glomer at work in the garages, she excused herself.
Are you going to wish us luck? Orin said, smiling.
It was too much, he realized.
Annalene simply walked away faster.
Ah, well, he thought. It's better if she doesn't hear the rest anyway.
I can't believe this, mistress,
Glomer said.
That's the offer,
Annalene said, reviewing the document on the datapad.
You've been doing a great job with the garages, and I know you've had your eye on expanding.
With his eyes a tiny feature on his elongated cranium, the Findian mechanic always looked a little mournful. But now, even Annalene could read his surprise. He'd invited her to the garage to tell her that the parts for her old landspeeder had finally arrived. Instead, he'd gotten the deal of a lifetime.
Running a shop,
he said, long arms in the air.
I don't know how.
I doubt that, Annalene said, patting him on the back. You're good with customers, and there's not much to hustling power cells and ale. Talk to Tar. He knows how, and he'd like the chance.
The mechanic hummed contemplatively. Finally, he nodded, stepping back a meter, so he could offer his tremendously long limb in a handshake.
I will make the credit transfer,
he said, taking the datapad.
You can't tell anyone, she said. Not until tonight, after we leave.
Glomer nodded. The Findian's head tilted 90 degrees. Yellow eyes studied her sadly.
Where are you going?
Annalene smiled gently.
On an adventure.
She turned from him and walked back into the hallway to the claim. Exhaling, she leaned against the wall with a thump.
Had she just done that? Did I really just sell the store?
Even more amazing was the fact that her kids were going along with it. So far. She'd learned upon waking that Callie and Jabe had heard her talking to Ben after all. They'd heard the last part anyway. Jabe was still in such a lather over the raid that he was ready to move to the corporate sector. And Callie had been so smitten with Ben since their first meeting that the prospect of him sweeping in to rescue her family from dishonor perfectly fit the myth. Still, the last hour had been tough. On seeing Ulbrich arrive, Jabe had feared the worst. Annalene had coaxed him from hiding and assigned him the job of getting the house packed up. And Cal-